It's good. We are at our second last sermon coming into the last words of Jesus. Paul, thank you for preaching last week. We are next week, Glenn's going to be finishing off the series with the last words in John. I'm going to be looking at some of the last words in John before his last words in John, if that makes sense. I'll get to that in a second. And then Palm Sunday is going to be a traditional Palm Sunday here that I'll be preaching on the Palm Sunday passage. And then we have Good Friday, our event here, but also we'll have a Good Friday service at 8:30. And then the rest, you know, about 400 to 600 people descend on this place, which is absolutely just such a fun thing to do. And then we start a new series Easter Sunday called Surprised by Hope, and we are so looking forward to that. So let's get into today. Let me pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to gather here in this place for this purpose of being encouraged, being able to see you with eyes that are a little bit clearer. Thank you for this opportunity that I have to look at this passage this week. I just ask that you would, by your Spirit, would allow these words to be living and active, that it wouldn't just be something, some kind of cerebral information download, but that somehow we would experience you in the midst of this, in the midst of this mystery we call preaching. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Titled this sermon, Here's Your Son, Here's Your Mother, Take Care of Each Other, John 19, 25 to 27. It's just a short little passage in a longer narrative, as you know, and we're going to read it in the message. I'm going to read it in the message. Yes, perfect. While the soldiers were looking after themselves, Jesus' mother, his aunt, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene stood at the foot of the cross. Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing near. He said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your brother. Here is your mother." From that moment, the disciple accepted her as his own mother. It's interesting, like, can we preach on this? Like, what? Some of you might be going, huh? I was asking that, you know, a couple weeks ago, and even at the beginning of this week, going, eh. And then I hope things are going to become clearer as we go along. At the first reading of these words of Jesus, they're not words that seem maybe as weighty as some of those other words that we've been looking at, where he says to, he cries from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Or in other words that we didn't preach on, but he says to the thief of his side, he says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Or the words that Paul, a really human aspect that Jesus was experiencing, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Here we have Jesus' words. "Woman, here's your son. Then here is your mother." But I wonder here as we look at it, it might not be Jesus taking care of family business, but there might be something actually more relevant and might catch us a little bit by what he's doing and what he's saying. Remember, these are his last words. Many people talk about how on the cross, it would have hurt him to actually be able to speak. So he's choosing words that he wants to be either intentional of, or that he's experiencing. So here, it's really interesting, and I find completely almost overwhelming, that Jesus was compassionately thinking of others while on the cross. Jesus here, that's our first slide, was compassionately thinking of others while on the cross. And this is partly why I chose the message to be able to read this passage, because Eugene Peterson interprets it in sharp contrast when he says, while the soldiers were looking after themselves, Here you have then a group of women along with a young disciple at the foot of the cross, and Jesus is looking after others. While the soldiers were looking after themselves, that's a startling, sharp contrast. And then you have these mourning people sitting and being there, in a sense, almost wanting to take care of Jesus, wondering what's going on, and Jesus looking after others. He's thinking of the real-life situations that they're going to be walking through in the months, the weeks, the months, the years ahead while he's gone. It's interesting earlier on where he's saying, it's not just about going to heaven, it's about something here and now. Yes, today you'll be with me in paradise, but now for you that are here without me, take care of each other. Take care of each other. There's an assumption that, and we don't have a record of it, that Joseph, Mary's husband, Jesus' stepdad, might have passed on, because we didn't hear too much about him in the Gospels. And here, Jesus says to his widow mom, who is now losing her son, look, take care of one another. Jesus calls the ones that love him. So you have this group of people that are, the disciples have fled, all but one. John points that out. We assume it's him, the one that Jesus loved. We assume it's him. And everyone else has fled, probably for fear that they are going to be arrested as an insurrectionist, just like Jesus had been. And some people think that maybe John wasn't quite as old, maybe didn't have a big beard, maybe was a little bit younger, and so he was actually able to be with the women during that time. And everyone else has fled, and we have these people that are loving and caring for Jesus and the situation that's around and looking up. And Jesus calls the ones that love him to love one another. Jesus calls the ones that love him to love and care for one another. I think for sure Jesus is honoring one of the Ten Commandments when it says honor your father and mother when he's doing this. He's living out that law, right? But I wonder if Jesus is calling John and his mother in the witness of the people there to live out what he was calling his disciples to do earlier of loving one another. John 13, 33 and 34 says this, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So there's actually a purpose, a greater purpose in loving one another. Because this is how the kingdom works. This is what it's supposed to look like. This is heaven on earth. This is a sign point of the kingdom. That Jesus, the ones that love God, love each other. Woman, this is your son. Son, this is your mother. It sometimes comes to sharp contrast to us maybe living in the Western world where we're quite individualistic. Most of our songs are all I songs. Me, I. And here, this reminder of Jesus from the cross, that there's a connection together, to be together. I wonder here, as when I read this, I don't know about you, but as I read these stories, one of the things that has really helped me is I would put myself in different people's situation at the cross. But in the last few weeks, as we've been looking at Jesus' words from the cross, we can't help but see the people at the cross. And I wonder if we, as a metaphor, look at being some of the ones that are at the cross as we stand at the foot of the cross, contemplating who is this Messiah. Remember we talked a couple of weeks ago? Who is this Messiah? The king? The one that's supposed to have victory? He's on the cross? So we've been contemplating, what is it? Who is this Messiah as we stand at the foot of the cross? We are called to love and care for those that are around us. This is a signpost, I believe, that the kingdom of God is present here on earth as it is in heaven. It defines the life of the follower of Jesus. And it's that definition that then, Jesus says, then all men, all women, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you love for one another. It's hard for me to paint the picture, but it's at the cross where you're seeing Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You're seeing Jesus saying these other words, and then saying to the one in the thief, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And then he says, here, mother, your son. Son, this is your mother. Like, it's like, this is really important too. This is very important too. This is the one thing I want to try to get across today in this way. John 14:15, it's down here, but it says, if you love me, keep my commands. And you go, well, what are Jesus' commands? The main commands are love God and love others. It's so simple that I go, all right, we're done. But relationships are pretty tricky. They're a little more complex. If you love me, keep my commands. And then I wrote this, and my commands will force you to love. If you love me, keep my commands, and my commands will force you to love. What does that look like in our context? We've been doing this last a while. Here's some now, open mic. I'm not going to give you mic, maybe. But what does that look like in our context, or in the context you find yourselves in? Here, in Cloverdale, in 2019. What does it look like to love one another? We say this word love, but what does that mean? Those of you that are regulars, you know that this isn't a rhetorical question. You're allowed to answer. And we learn from one another. What does that look like? And if you're new here and you're raging extrovert, you're allowed to speak too. Taking risks, yeah. Yeah, relationships can be risky. What does that mean, take a risk, though? Right. Yeah, making space when you don't think you might not have any. What else does love look like? Yeah, little, right? Yeah. Responding to actual needs. Yes, exactly. So what is the need? How can I help this person? or being actually known. Like, what is my need, and can I actually share that with someone in a culture that I should be taking care of myself? What is my need? Responding to actual needs. Anything else? I still want you to be thinking about this. One might be just being present. You know, I'm finding more and more that a large portion of our, I'll just say population, I'm not saying community, I'm not pinning anyone here, but a large portion of people, I believe, that live in the areas where I am familiar with, a lot of those people don't know anyone. Like, be known. Like, and some people, some of us have lots of friends, and we have friends, and some people don't. What does that look like, and how does that work, and how do we be present with someone to allow that person to be known? And am I willing to allow to be known as well? We want this to be a safe place and it takes a while as we get to know people, that there's space and grace for that. Being available, being available, not and maybe that's like taking a risk. It's like, hey, I got my family's thing, I got all this to do, and then I get interrupted, and now what? How do I make this work, right? Being available, simply. Being helpful, responding to actual needs. How do we? I think that's a huge question right there. How do we love? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Putting aside our prejudice that I actually, maybe someone will actually be able to help my need, but I might not want them to. Or I'm actually able to help someone that I maybe wouldn't have if I had prejudice against. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, listening. Yeah, that's huge.
It's striking me that this is also so much in the family context, mm-hmm. Mother and son. So it really does come down to what happens when we're amongst those that are closest to us.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Cheryl. Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna sing a response song, which is a great song. Trev, thanks for the songs you've chose. So good. I know a couple weeks ago I went after the song "How Deep the Father's Love." You can go listen to that if you want at some point. But I went after that a little bit, and Jesse knew about that. Trevor, you didn't know about this one, but I'm gonna go after this one just a little bit. We're gonna sing a great song called "At the Foot of the Cross." And I love it, how it's so fitting, because this whole context of Jesus' last words, it's us observing at the foot of the cross what is happening here. And the song we'll sing is, "At the foot of the cross, where grace and suffering meet, you've shown me your love. Through the judgment you received, and you've won my heart." Yes, you've won my heart. Jamie, you're good. And if you're listening online, that wasn't part of the song. Because I know a few people that do listen. So, but as we again, it's our context of me and I, and yet I wonder if we read it at the foot of the cross where grace and suffering meet, you've shown us your love. Now, what does that do now? When I sing, "You've shown us your love," that means that we're included with one another now. And it also forces me to now know that we're an us, not a us and them. I'm with you now, right? You've shown us your love. And I just was taken back. I listened to the song and I was really moved by it. And then I went, oh, if we could just somehow bring into "You've won our hearts," and not just my heart. Now, can I sing for you? I'm not sure if I can, but in the context of community, understanding that, it would be helpful for us. I want to share a story that Sharon and I have been walking through the last few months. That is a real life story of someone doing just this, what Jesus is doing. I want to check the time. Our friends, I just won't mention their names right now, but our friends that we've been walking through, we are their son's godparents, so he's our godson. And we've just thoroughly enjoyed being in relationship for a while, and a long time, grad school friends of Sharon's, and then we've just been walking with them. And 2 years ago, their eight-year-old, 2 years ago, yeah, they're eight, right around that, coming up here soon, their eight-year-old passed away of brain, of cancer. And the mom has suffered some cancer, and just lately, she'd been diagnosed with brain cancer, and has given, and there's been a limit on, like, they've said, here's your time. As hard as that has been, our friends are living life in the midst of, like, just deep tragedy. And you just see this life spring up out of it and the intentionality. And why do I bring this up in context of here is this. A few weeks ago, she gathers 12 of her basically best friends from around, some that flew in from other places, rented a tea room in Fort Langley, had a professional videographer and photographer there, and I'll try to share it best possible. Sharon will nod this way or this way if I get it right. Had 12 of her friends, and then she said, she calls them her son's aunties, and said, all right, Sharon, this is going to be your job with my son. All right? This is going to be your job. This is what you're going to do for him. This is, and just went around and gave specific tasks almost for their 12-year-old in the future. Oh. It's like she was saying, sisters, here's my son. Take care of him. And then we had opportunity this weekend to be with them, and because I have a dislocated shoulder still. It's not dislocated, but it's still recuperating. So Sharon and our kids and the dad and our godson, they went skiing all day in Whistler. And then I got to hang out with our friend, who's now in a walker. And we had the best crepes ever. There's a place in Whistler, it's like killer. We just sat there for a few hours and laughed and chatted. And I said to her, because she asked me to do something too. See, I lost my mom almost 16 years ago, just 3 months after we got married. And she knew that I had a tender heart towards my mom. And she had asked Sharon, but then asked me. And then I was able to talk to her about it. I said, thanks for asking me. She said, I want you to talk to my son about your mom and what it was like losing her. And because I know that you have a tender heart towards your mom. She said, it's like she looked right across from me and said, brother, here's your son. And I was like, and our friends love Jesus so deeply. And I truly believe this is the motivating factor for allowing them, calling other people to come around them to love their son, but not just their son, but to love them during this time as well. Now, that's a pretty extreme story. But I believe it's a picture of what Jesus might be wanting to get across on the cross, where he has had, he's on the cross, the sins of the world were taken on him. And he's saying, as I've loved you, you now are to love each other. As I've loved you, you now take on one another, like I've been saying all this time, love one another as I've loved you. There's all kinds of, we got to figure out boundaries and how to say no to people and whatnot, but how do we love people? How do we do this in a way that would honor those words that Jesus says? Mother, your son. Brother, your son. Sister, your son. And I wonder if we are able to look at each other in different ways where we're maybe not able to, like we're thinking about things, we're saying, brother, your brother. This is your brother. Sister, this is your brother. Sister, this is your sister. We are called a body. We're called to reflect who Jesus is. And Jesus, yes, there is eternal life. And yes, there is forgiveness of sins. And yes, there is grace and mercy. Absolutely. And yes, we get to live out this kind of calling to love one another here, to respond to actual needs. So I want to encourage you. Maybe if you haven't been known, maybe it's time to let yourself be known to someone. Maybe if you have a need, maybe you can let someone know of your need and someone can jump in and help. Because I believe it would be reflecting and honoring the words, Jesus' last words for us, that there'd be a little piece of heaven on earth right here within this community. And those of you that are outside this community as well. Let me pray. Jesus, as we stand at the cross and contemplate this generous act of love that you've displayed for us, we hear the words that echo from the cross that you said earlier. Care for each other. As I have loved you, you must love one another. And this is how people will know that you're my followers, if you love one another. God, that's so tricky and hard. And we don't do it so well, but we want that to happen here in any way that we're able to make it happen. Stir us. Give us imagination for heaven on earth and not just heaven. Give us imagination to live our lives in a way that would just honor your words. That you're calling people to take care of one another. Yeah. Thank you for each person here. Would they know? Would they know so deeply in their bones that you love them? Would they know deeply that of this self-sacrificial love that is shown and displayed on the cross? And God, help us know the trickier parts, that we're actually loved by each other. And help us move and risk so that people will know that we're your followers, that we'd love each other. Equip us, encourage us by your Spirit. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
foot of the cross, where grace and suffering meet. You have shown us your love through the judgment you've received. You've won our hearts. Yes, you've won our hearts. Now we can trade these ashes in for beauty, and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, we lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, where we are made complete. You have given us life through the death you've borne for us. Oh, and you won our heart. Yes, you won our. Now we can trade these ashes in for beauty, and wear forgiveness like a crown. Come in to kiss the feet of mercy, we lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. Trade these ashes in for beauty, and wear forgiveness like a crown. Come in to kiss the feet of mercy, we lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. You won our hearts. Yes, you won our hearts. Yes, you won our hearts. Yes, you won our hearts. Now we can trade these ashes in for beauty, and wear forgiveness like a crown. Come in to kiss the feet of mercy, we lay every burden down at the foot of the cross.
Help but think in this narrative, at the foot of the cross is an empty. The foot of the cross is a group of disciples that Jesus has redefined community. It said, now carry one another's burdens. That's good news. Walk with each other. Mother, this is your son. Son, this is your mother. Brother, this is your brother. Sister, brother. There's a new community that forms at the foot of the cross. The ones that stay around are able to hear those words of Jesus. Oh, gosh. Would you be blessed? I'm not going to do a double preach. I could. Because Jamie just changed all the lyrics. How good is that? We'll have to let CCLI know that. But so good. I'll leave you with this benediction. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show his favor and give you his peace. Go in grace and love someone because you're loved.